Well, when Harry Truman created the CIA back in 1947, he had a clear idea of what he wanted it to be. What he got, though, was something very different, something far more political, something that by 1963 he didn't even recognize. Mel Goodman is a former CIA analyst who speaks in town tonight about the relationship that presidents have had with the CIA going all the way back to Harry Truman. Whether the CIA will ever change is doubtful, though. Goodman says that the American public is sound asleep regarding the CIA. In other words, they aren't paying any attention. Dr. Melvin Goodman is a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy, where he is director of their National Security Project. He's the author of several books, including National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism, and Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. And Mel, welcome to Kansas City. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Steve, it's good to be with you.
Well, World War II had come to an end. Harry Truman decides he needs something called the Central Intelligence Agency, Mel. Why? Why did he feel that he needed it?
Well, there were two reasons. One was Pearl Harbor. In the case of Pearl Harbor, the United States had all the information it needed to determine that the Japanese was going to attack the United States. They didn't know exactly where or exactly when, but they had broken the Japanese military code. They knew that the Japanese had told its embassy to destroy all of its sensitive documents, and they knew that the Japanese were going to break relations, two major indicators of war. This information didn't get to the right people. That's why you had the incredible impact of the surprise in 1941. So for that reason, they needed an intelligence agency that was central, that was in control of distribution of sensitive documents. And the other reason, of course, was with the end of the war and the beginning of the Cold War, knowing that the Soviet Union was going to be a major challenge for the United States.
He wanted to
know what intelligence people thought who weren't wedded to policy. Mm-hmm. And this is something Truman understood, that it had to be an agency independent of policy and policy agencies. And that's why all of the policy agencies basically fought the creation of the CIA. The Pentagon was opposed to it because they didn't want a rival organization giving briefings on the Hill that would challenge the worst-case assessments of the Pentagon. The State Department was against it because they didn't want a rival in that field. J. Edgar Hoover at the FBI didn't want another agency conducting counterintelligence. So Truman had to deal with all of those political opponents. But from late 1945, when he held his first meetings in the White House about an intelligence organization, to the National Security Act of 1947, he held his ground and got the CIA he wanted. But it didn't become the CIA that he had envisioned.
I was going to say, by 1963, Mel, and in the wake of the Bay of Pigs incident involving President Kennedy, the agency had become something that Harry Truman didn't even recognize. In Truman's mind, Mel, it had become what?
It had become a sinister organization of intrigue and a very noisy agency. Yeah. What he wanted and what he envisioned was what he called the quiet arm of intelligence for the White House. And you have to remember that presidents fall in love with two institutions when they come to Washington. They fall in love with Camp David and they fall in love with the CIA. Truman wasn't quite so enamored, particularly with what happened during the Eisenhower administration that was overthrowing the government in Iran, challenging the government in Cuba, responsible for the overthrow of Lumumba and in the Congo, the same thing in Indonesia, in Guatemala. He was opposed to all of that. He didn't want it to be a subversive influence in peacetime. He wanted it to collect intelligence, to analyze material, and make sure policymakers got this information on a timely basis. He didn't want this noisy arm of government.
Why did President Eisenhower allow it to become just that?
Well, I think Eisenhower's motives were clear in that he wanted to control the military. He wanted to control the Pentagon.
Very suspicious of the military that he once commanded.
That was the military-industrial complex that he talked about. And he didn't want to waste a lot of money on military spending because he gave the Cross of Iron speech in which he said, if we overspend on the military, we won't have money for infrastructure, for educating our children. Whereas the CIA was looked at as something that was very inexpensive. Something where the United States would have plausible denial and that you would dissociate the role of the president from whatever the malicious deeds of the CIA happened to be. But it didn't turn out that way. And the problem was he had people around him, particularly Alan Dulles at the CIA and Alan Dulles's brother John Foster Dulles at the State Department. And then, of course, Richard Nixon, who wanted to use the CIA. So in turning down the military role for Vietnam, or the Bay of Pigs for Cuba, or bailing out the French in Vietnam, or getting involved in the Suez War of 1956, he gave in to a lot of these so-called subversive covert actions that did tremendous damage to the United States. If you look at our interests now with Iran, so many years later after the overthrow of the government of Mossadegh, we're still dealing with the strategic implications of our covert action.
Is it too much to say that under Eisenhower and then Kennedy, the CIA was running amok?
No, because they were doing what the presidents wanted them to do. And this is what was wrong with the Church Committee hearings in the 1970s, which I thought did very useful work. But remember, Senator Frank Church referred to the CIA as a rogue elephant out of control. Well, it wasn't a rogue elephant, and it wasn't out of control. It was doing what the president asked them to do. Because when you look at a lot of these covert actions, the ideas for them, Chile in the 1970s, that came out of the Nixon-Kissinger White House. Mm-hmm. But that was not the idea of the CIA. When Richard Helms got the order to conduct the overthrow, the coup d'etat in Chile, to support it in terms of supporting the military, he was shocked by the authority he was given in the White House. And you can look at a lot of covert actions. It's not something the CIA wanted to do. Certainly political assassinations weren't their idea. Yeah. This was directed from the White House, even Eisenhower and Lumumba in the Congo in the 1950s.
Dr. Mel Goodman is speaking tonight in town, but the news is that the event is sold out. The event is presented in partnership with the Truman Library and the Truman Center for Governmental Affairs at UMKC. The good news, though, is that the event is being taped by C-SPAN as well. You can check C-SPAN's schedule for airtimes. It should air sometime the next couple of weeks. You can go to UMKC's Truman Center website and find out exactly when Mel's talk will air. Moving on to President Kennedy, you say he abused the CIA. How?
Well, I think the Bay of Pigs was a terrible abuse. And even the CIA, the inspector general who looked at the Bay of Pigs in hindsight, called it the perfect failure. Everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong in the case of Cuba and the Bay of Pigs. Then if you look at Vietnam, the order to go after Diem and overthrow the Diem government came out of the Kennedy White House. And once Diem was moved aside, in this case he was killed in this coup attempts, Kennedy claimed he was surprised by that wasn't part of his original instructions. We had no ally in Vietnam. So before LBJ even got into the White House, the Vietnam War was over. It was already unwinnable, as far as I'm concerned, because after Diem, there was nothing. And one of the reasons why we overthrew Diem were the clandestine rumors that he was opening up talks or wanted to open up talks with the North Vietnamese. Diem wanted to end that war and wanted to save himself in the process, and we weren't about to let him. So this was a very poor decision by a Kennedy administration that in the first 2 years had a lot of problems in the national security arena.
We're talking about presidents and the CIA with Dr. Melvin Goodman. You know, which president of all the presidents since Truman, Mel, corralled the agency most effectively, oversaw the CIA the way it should have been overseen? Or have we had anybody since Truman?
No, Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
And it's interesting when you look at Jimmy Carter, which is a much maligned administration, but I think in some ways unfairly maligned. We didn't lose any servicemen in war. And the CIA was controlled until the last year, and that was because Carter had a national security advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who wanted to start covert action in Afghanistan even before the Soviet went in. And this is something that isn't widely known. So the Soviets invaded Afghanistan in December of 1979. By mid-year 1979, there were covert actions in Afghanistan. And I think in Brzezinski's mind, he was luring the Soviets into Afghanistan, knowing that this was a briar patch that they would never get out of. Of course, ironically, we are now in that briar patch.
Well, why was Jimmy Carter so determined to control and corral the CIA?
I think Carter was very knowledgeable and witting of some of the covert actions, and he was opposed to them. But more importantly, his vice president, and this isn't widely known either, Walter Mondale was not a friend of the CIA. And in the same way that Harry Truman, when he wrote that op-ed for the Washington Post in December of 1963, became a critic of the CIA. In fact, before Truman died, he said, if I knew then what I know now, I never would have created the CIA in the first place. Mondale came from that, I think, from that same direction. They appreciated the intelligence analysis. They appreciated the clandestine collection of intelligence. They were very leery about the covert action. And frankly, when I looked at covert action for my book, I saw one strategic nightmare after another. Some tactical successes, but no great strategic successes.
So do you agree with Harry Truman? If you had to do it over again, do we need the CIA today?
We need a CIA for intelligence. There's no question in my mind that you can't rely on policy organizations, particularly the Pentagon, but also the State Department to a lesser extent, for interpretation of intelligence, interpretation of satellite photography, interpretation of communications intercepts. You do need an independent agency for that reason outside of the policy community.
But not what it is today.
But not the covert action role. Look today, the drone activity, the targeted assassinations, the idea that the White House is giving directions to the CIA to target people whose names are not known, but they conform, their activities conform to a certain pattern. In fact, we're using metadata to conduct targeted assassinations in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
And the problem with that is what we're trying to control things that we simply can't control, Mel, from a 10,000-foot macro viewpoint here?
Well, I think it's asking too much to think that a covert action is going to make strategic significance in changing the nature of a government. And frankly, whenever you look at the use of military force, Iraq, an unwinnable war, we overthrew Saddam Hussein. We had no control over the aftermath of the killing of Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
Gaddafi, we went into Libya with military force on a much more modest level. Libya is a mess at this current juncture. So I think it's what Eisenhower understood about being very leery about the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, it was Eisenhower with the overthrow of the Mossadegh government, a democratically elected government in Iran, that really started all of these presidents, with the possible exception of Jimmy Carter, on the road to one covert action after another. In fact, if you look at all of the presidents, they were involved
yeah.
with one kind of covert action or another.
Our listeners have questions about the CIA with Dr. Melvin Goodman. Give us a call, 816-235-2888. Let's go to William from Leawood. William, you're on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Well, thanks, William.
One of the things that really irks me when I pick up the paper or read the internet news is China conducting espionage. State actors in China conducting espionage of our corporations. As you know, the information age have been for over 20 years. Do you feel that the CIA has enough resources overseas to be able to detect who's going after our corporations and extracting information, for example, whether it's respect to the new solar energy panels or the F-35 fighter, which is at least 10 times more advanced than the Soviet or the Chinese fighter? Do you feel that there's adequate controls where we can detect that and deter it? Because once the information is out, it's out. And what do you think what should be done about it if you don't think it's adequate?
What's the CIA doing about corporate espionage, Mel?
Yeah, well, the major role in terms of corporate espionage is really the National Security Agency. They're responsible for the cybersecurity of the United States, and they have a pretty good line on the kinds of hacking that's being done by national entities, and particularly China. But also, Russia is involved in this game. So is Israel. So is France. And, of course, the United States plays a very important role. On corporate espionage, we have pretty good clandestine sources, and there were major cases, particularly against the Japanese and the Toshiba Corporation decades ago, in which we were aware of very sensitive technology was being passed to Russia. But the problem is our hands aren't clean in this. We're engaged in cybersecurity. We're hacking into economic systems, and maybe we're not helping our own corporations with this information, but we are helping our negotiators in international economic agreements. So I think what is needed is an international agreement on the role of cyber activity and cyber security, because at the rate we're going, we're all going to be hacked. All of our companies as individuals, all of our institutions. When I taught at the National War College, the Pentagon computer system was hacked into 20 years ago. This is going to be a very hard kind of activity to stop without some international limitations. And frankly, our government has gotten away from international agreements. And I blame Bill Clinton on that in the 1990s. We have to play more of an international role. Here, Barack Obama is right. And I think he's being unfairly criticized.
You know, one of the issues you point out here, Mel, is that the American public is sound asleep when it comes to the CIA. We aren't paying attention. We don't know what's going on. Isn't that the issue? We don't know. We don't really fully understand what they're doing because so much of it is behind the curtain.
Well, What astounds me is when I look at the press and I look at congressional hearings, how much activity we know about, how much information we have. And I think the nation generally has ignored these wars. These wars have become quite forgettable to the American people, whether it's Iraq and Afghanistan. And we've allowed the government to stay in two unwinnable situations, one for nearly a decade and one for more than a decade. Afghanistan and Iraq were unwinnable wars from the outside. Mm-hmm. Iraq was a war of deceit. False intelligence. The White House knew it was falsified intelligence.
But we won that war.
Well, I don't think so. If you look at the Iraq situation today and you look at the sectarian fighting and the fact that the Civil War is still being waged, and if you look at the terrible hostilities between Sunni and Shia throughout the Middle East that this war began, I consider this war one of the great political nightmares for the interests of the United States. So I blame the Bush administration for terms of all of the negative aspects of the Arab Spring from two or three years ago, started with the Iraq War and leading to this fighting between Sunni and Shia, which we see everywhere. We see it in Syria, we see it in Lebanon, we see it in Yemen. But it's throughout the region.
I still think most Americans sort of view all this as this covert stuff. As we get part of the story, we don't get the whole story. It's complicated. I think most the average citizen feels this is a really hard idea to wrap our arms around.
I think that's true. But here I feel that the print media do a very poor job in terms of being papers of record, which the New York Times, for example, used to be, in giving context for these stories. Most of the groups I talk to, and I lecture all over the country, there's tremendous confusion about Afghanistan and Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And try to explain to people that our real enemy in that region is not Afghanistan, it's Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between the Afghan Taliban and the Pakistani Taliban. And there are divisions within these groups. It's a very complicated story. And if the press did a better job of providing context, I think the American people might be more alert. But people are not paying attention.
Back to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Our guest, Dr. Melvin Goodman, we're talking about the CIA and American presidents since Harry Truman. Michael from Overland Park, good morning.
Yes, so on the Kennedy administration, I understood that Kennedy felt very deceived by the CIA over Bay of Pigs and so forth and Vietnam, but that he said that he was going to break up the CIA and cast in wind 1,000 people shortly before he assassinated. And also, what was the Lee Harvey Oswald Mexico City visitation controversy with the CIA?
Thank you, Michael.
Well, I think the controversy is how much the CIA knew about the travels and activities of Lee Harvey Oswald. And one of the mistakes of the Warren Commission was not making sure that the CIA released all of its material, emphasis on all of its material, Lee Harvey Oswald. I am not a conspiracy theory guy. I don't believe there are any conspiracy theories with regard to Lee Harvey Oswald. But I think the Warren Commission did a great disservice to the country by not making sure they explored every possible interpretation for who he was, how he came to be, and what his activities were. And the CIA's been allowed to hold back documents. In fact, if you look at Cuba and the Bay of Pigs, which I also blame Kennedy for, even though the CIA did mislead Kennedy to a certain extent, there was just a ruling in a federal court of appeals, this was May of this year, allowing the CIA to withhold documents on the Bay of Pigs. That's an outrage. This is something that the nation shouldn't stand for, and our elective representatives should do something about this. This is where the intelligence committees, both the House but particularly the Senate, have fallen down on the job. But it's up to the American people to hold their representatives' feet to the fire. And this is what I mean by the country going AWOL at very important times in our national security history.
And Mel, was Kennedy going to tear the CIA apart?
No. In fact, when he called in Alan Dulles after the Bay of Pigs debacle, he said to Alan Dulles, if this was a parliamentary government, I'd have to step aside, but it's not, so you're going to have to step aside. And he continued to work with the CIA on Vietnam. And the fact of the matter is, if you go back and look at the Pentagon Papers and the CIA intelligence assessments on Vietnam, particularly the national intelligence assessments, they made it clear that Vietnam was unwinnable, that strategic bombing would not work, that this was a civil war, and there was no really important role for American military power. It was presidents like Kennedy, but particularly Johnson, who ignored the advice of the CIA and the analysis of the CIA. And that's why there was so much contempt by Kennedy and Johnson toward the CIA. Here, the CIA has been unfairly treated over the years.
Mel Goodman's latest book, National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism. We haven't talked much about President Obama yet, Mel. You fault him for his failure to seek accountability for CIA transgressions, meaning what?
Well, my major problem with Obama in the area of the CIA is that he's really compromised the institution of the inspector general. The statutory inspector general was introduced into the CIA in the late 1980s because of the abuses of Iran-Contra. It was a very important role. Now he has terribly weakened it, and so therefore you don't have internal oversight. So a lot of the CIA activities that started under the Bush administration, there's never been accountability for the torture and abuse, accountability for the secret prisons, for the detentions policy, mm-hmm. for the renditions policy, and particularly the erroneous detentions. What about the people who were totally innocent, who were not only picked up off the streets of Europe and the Middle East, but then were tortured not only by us or given over to other governments, such as the Syrians? These were all violations of the various Geneva Conventions, by the way. Obama said very early on, I'm not going to look in my rearview mirror, I'm going to look ahead. Well, I think you need accountability to make sure these events don't happen again. A lot of the abuses that took place during the 1970s in terms of COINTELPRO, the program that the FBI and the CIA ran, really came back again under the National Security Agency and the massive surveillance. So if you don't have accountability, there's a chance for some repetition with this kind of activity.
Such interesting stuff. Mel Goodman again speaks tonight. The event is sold out, but the event's going to be taped by C-SPAN. You can check the C-SPAN schedule at the UMKC Truman Center website to find out when that presentation is going to air. It should be out in about 2 weeks. Mel Goodman, what a pleasure to have you. Such interesting stuff. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be with you.